Gracious God, may these words be faithful to the written word and lead us to your living word. Amen. Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
As we hear the story of the Good Samaritan this morning, it can be difficult to listen to this story and hear anything new in it, because so many of us have heard this parable for so long that it can be difficult for us to engage it and allow it to grip us and to turn our hearts in the way that it certainly would have impacted the people who were hearing Jesus tell this story. One of the things that caught my attention in reading it this time was the fact that this poor man who had fallen into the hands of robbers and had been beaten and was lying on the side of the road was actually seen by the three different people who walked near him. To me, this is significant because I feel that in our culture, we are so inundated with stories of violence, of horror all over the world, of grief in our own lives, that it can be well nigh impossible to go through life without blinders, just trying to stay focused on keeping ourselves and our families safe and cared for and loved. Because if you actually saw all the images of sadness and pain and woundedness and brokenness, like the man on the side of the road, we would be devastated day in and day out. So the fact that all three people actually noticed this man who was in such extreme brokenness on the side of the road, for me, is the first miraculous act of this story. Even though the first two people pass him by, he was at least noticed. In the news cycle, especially when horrific shootings happen, as they did this week in Baton Rouge, in Minneapolis, in Dallas, and in Bristol, Tennessee, it can be so tempting to just shut it off and turn away. What can we do here in Massachusetts for these people who are lying on the streets in states so far away? Especially when the little bit I know of some of your lives, you have your own griefs to bear. You have your own worries for your children and your grandchildren, your own concerns for your health, for your loved one's health. What can we do for these people so far away who are broken and in need of God's healing grace and love? I recently read a novel called The Story Hour. I had to look up the author. I have trouble remembering authors' names, which I'm looking at Susan, named Athridi Umrugar. She's a professor of English at Case Western University, and she's written many, I think five, very well-acclaimed novels. But this particular one is so enchanting and so challenging for me for a number of reasons. It features two main protagonists, Lakshmi, who is an Indian immigrant who has moved to a northern community. It feels in the book like it's the Minneapolis-St. Paul area, ironically. And her therapist, Dr. Maggie Bose, who is an African-American woman married to an Indian math professor. These two women come into each other's lives in a way that I won't spoil for you. But part of the redemption that both women find in a very complicated friendship that develops out of this therapeutic relationship of psychologist and patient, part of what emerges is the incredible healing power of telling stories. We know this from Jesus' life and ministry and the way that he used stories not only to instruct, but to build up, to transform, and to heal the lives of the people who he was coming into contact with. One of the extraordinary gifts that we can give to each other in our home communities, wherever they are, is the gift of inviting each other to tell your stories. Where are the places in your life that you have been wounded and broken and left by the side of the road? Where are the places in your life that you have noticed somebody wounded and broken, and you have taken the time to stop and to tend them and to love them? It is so difficult to see what the path forward is for our country. The more shootings that we hear of, the more sorrow that we see in the eyes of mothers. I was writing down the names of the people who died in Dallas and Minneapolis, Baton Rouge, and Bristol, Tennessee, and they all are in their 40s and 50s. I don't know that all of them still have parents alive, but I know that a vast majority of them have parents alive who are grieving for their children, and many of these men and women who died have children who are grieving for their lost parents. Where are the places in our own communities that we can take the time to ask each other about your stories of heartbreak, to create a space where it would be safe for you to share openly and honestly the places that you have been wounded and the times that you have been called to respond in compassion? In addition to the Good Samaritan parable reminding me that all three people saw the man on the side of the road, which is huge. We cannot respond if we do not first see. So in addition to the people seeing the man broken on the side of the road, Jesus commends and lifts up the one who acted, the one who tended, who took the time to respond. It is not clear how our culture will respond to this epidemic of violence and racism, but it is abundantly clear that every single one of us has the power to listen, to notice when people are in pain, and to listen to their stories. In dialogue with the Unitarian pastor in Burnsville Village, Christian Harper, the Reverend Dr. Christian Harper, who's an African-American woman serving a predominantly white congregation, I asked her, I said, "Kristen, it feels so oppressive to me to even say to you, would you please share your story? I can only imagine how sick you are as a black woman in this culture of having to help me, a white woman in this culture, to understand my own privilege and entitlement and the ways that simply being born of the skin color that I was has paved a road that I had nothing to do with." And she very openly and honestly responded that she was tired of having to bear that burden. And yet she knew that the only way that we as women would understand each other more deeply is if she is willing to tell her story, if I am willing to listen, and then if I am willing to share my story of places where I have been hurt or wounded, of places where she can provide compassion and openness and love to me. But this is a mutual relationship. Jesus commends the person who acted because he saw, he had compassion, and he was willing to get right down in the dirt and tend to the brokenness. In the story hour, as Lakshmi and Maggie continue in their therapeutic relationship and the development of a friendship, the relationship is ultimately what heals Lakshmi at a very deep level. But as with every good novel, there's always a twist. And we see that even when we have the best intentions as human beings, we inevitably trip and fall and make mistakes. The redemption in the novel, the redemption in this parable of the Good Samaritan, the redemption in all of our lives is, again, the willingness to see the brokenness wherever it comes from. And more importantly, the willingness to act as agents of healing, no matter what the source of the brokenness is, so that each and every person in this country, in our world, feels truly beloved of God, worthy of telling their story, worthy of being heard, worthy of being responded to, worthy of having the power to offer their forgiveness and their healing to anybody who bears the wounds of living as human beings. As I shared at the beginning of the service, our presiding bishop has called every one of us into a profound and deep period of prayer, where we are broken open on our knees, grieving for our sons and daughters and brothers and sisters who are dying at an extraordinarily alarming rate in a culture that is absolutely fetishizing guns and sees guns as a solution to problems that can only be healed through love. Sounds so Pollyanna, it sounds so unrealistic, but the alternative that we're living is so unbearable that I think it is our responsibility as Christians to live into that unrealistic hope that seeing pain, seeing brokenness, seeing woundedness, and responding out of love and compassion is the only way our culture will break through this extreme plague of racism and violence that is pervasive. My heart is so broken for all of the families in this country who are grieving, for the ways that seeing their grief taps into your grief and my grief, into your fears for your children and grandchildren, and my fears for my children and grandchildren. And it's only in this place of deep brokenness and humility that we come before God this morning, lifting our voices in song and praise, in gratitude for the abundant blessings that God has showered on us in our lives, and begging God for the strength and the wisdom to bear witness to the brokenness in this world and to respond as his son Jesus does to each and every one of us with healing, with love, and with compassion. Amen.